Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Right now, we're going to have a conversation that I think you'll find interesting. We're going to have a conversation about the targets that the federal government has set for emissions for this country. And we've talked a lot about the oil and gas emissions and how, you know, a lot of people, including myself, think we maybe got a little ambitious and got out ahead of ourselves in terms of what's realistic attainable, especially given, you know, what's happening in certain parts of the world where things have changed drastically over the course of the past 6 months. But the other aspect that we haven't talked much about before now is buildings. When you take a look at buildings and the emissions they produce, it's about the third highest behind transportation and oil and gas in the country. So, I mean, they are a significant source of emissions in our country. And so, just like everything else, their goal is a 42% reduction from 2019 levels. That's by 2030. And ultimately, we get to net zero by 2050. You're familiar with those targets. We've talked about them before. Question, though, is what's the cost? Is it attainable? And how do we get there? So we're going to chat with Charles DeLand, Associate Director of Research at the C.D. Howe Institute. Charles, thank you for joining us. I appreciate your time today.
Sure. Nice to join you.
So, I mean, first of all, when we talk about emissions from homes specifically, where does the majority of those emissions come from? Obviously, it's from heating, right? It's from heating water. It's from heating the home, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. That's the vast majority is from heating both those things. And most of it is the air, and then a smaller amount would be heating water.
Okay, and the goal here is to move that off of natural gas source for heat and move it into electricity, right? That's the plan. That's the way we do this reduction.
That's one of the major things. I mean, there's a couple other levers, but in our study, that's what we looked at. I would say it's not just natural gas. Out here it is, of course, in Alberta. Some parts of the country still use heating oil, Maritimes.
Right, sure, yeah. Okay, now let's talk about these goals, 42% by 2030. How big of a job is it ultimately to reach these goals? If we put it into numbers instead of just 42%, real terms that people might be able to understand, how big of a job are we talking about here?
Sure, and that's exactly what we wanted to look at in this paper. It was a scenario that we created. If we were going to electrify the heating, what would that take in terms of, in our case, replacing this the fossil fuels with heat pumps in particular. So we just created a scenario in which it wasn't fancy. It was a kind of a straight line of what would it take to get to net zero by 2050. And we're looking at roughly retrofitting about over 400,000 homes per year, every year to 2050.
Now, what about, I mean, that's just the existing. What about with new buildings being added? Doesn't that add to the number?
That actually does include that. There
okay.
is some assumption that we make that they're going to start to tail off by, say, 2030. In a more extreme case, in which we totally cut that off by, say, next year, which, again, we can say that's unrealistic, but nonetheless, why we call it extreme case. Even in that case, we don't reach that goal. We get to roughly about 26% reduction by 2030. Which is less than the 42%.
Far less, yeah, far less, but more realistic, right? I mean, that's possibly attainable. The 42% might be out of reach. Is that what we're saying?
Well, I'm just saying they would take a lot.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
If we wanted to actually get to net zero, or so the 42% reduction by 2030, it would take over 500,000 units per year to be retrofitted and nothing new emitting after 2023.
Now, that's just a start. As we said, we're talking about 2030, right. And the goals get more ambitious and they go farther to 2050 at net zero. What's the cost of that? What are we talking about in terms of reaching that goal?
In terms of dollars?
Dollars and retrofits and all the rest of it.
Yeah. So again, ours is pretty narrow. We're just looking at these heat pumps. Now, it could even be more than this because we're looking at insulation and if you change out electrical panels, that sort of thing. But we're looking at roughly around $4 to $6 billion per year for retrofits. Over the 30 plus years, we're talking about $150 to $200 billion. Each year, the $4 to $6 billion is roughly the equivalent of about 2 to 3 modern hospitals, to put that into some context for cost.
Okay. Now, when we look at these costs, what's the primary cost behind? Obviously, it's retrofitting. I mean, is the technology, is there a chance that might get cheaper? I mean, how, just break down that cost a bit for me.
Yeah. So it's true. This is it's a range. Obviously, that's a very average cost because apartments are going to be different than single family homes, than condos and townhouses. So we're taking a very broad average look at this. And, you know, in our case, we're just looking at switching out the heating of water and air with, like, replacing a furnace with heat pumps. Now, that can certainly grow if you have to change out your electrical, if you need to properly insulate your homes. And certainly there is a possibility that costs will come down. I mean, there's also other constraints that we didn't directly address, such as labor. You know, it takes a lot of people to do this kind of work, and not everyone's up to the latest heat pump standards. And also supply chain issues have been big lately. So, you know, costs can go either way. We don't know. I guess that there's a lot of potential error. This is not a forecast.
No,
this is a scenario.
And that's such a great point, Charles, because I think we often sort of view things through the lens of today, which we have to, right? Because, like you say, there's so many different unknown variables 10, 20, 30 years from now that things could be drastically different. But just looking at it from where we are now, it's still a useful exercise.
Correct. That's the point. It's just to give it some context.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we take a look at this, I mean, and it can also serve as a heads up to governments, both federal and provincial, in terms of, okay, this is the ask, this is the cost. How do we make those two work together? Right.
Right. And I think one thing that, you know, we would ask as consumers and as researchers is we would like to see more granularity along with some other targets. Like, exactly how do the numbers add up? You know, we have the aspirations, we have some of the methods that like the replacing of fossil fuels with heat pumps, but maybe a bit more granularity on exactly how we're going to reach those numbers by what years, and not just picking sort of the outcome and then working toward it.
That's the takeaway for sure. I couldn't agree more. Charles, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it very much.